Well, we're going to go back over. You know, last week we had our breakfast and things, and that was really good. Had a great time. Just really liked that fellowship time together we had. A lot of good food, things. But we're going to go back over to tongues. We're talking about which and dealing with it because it is the door to the supernatural. And we need to understand these things. In fact, I had on Tuesday morning, around 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awake, and the Spirit of the Lord started talking to me about some things and speaking to me about concerning the gift in me, but also dealing with the areas with dealing with the supernatural, dealing with tongues and things, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, things he talking about these areas. And we're going to look at today is go into the scriptures because we need to understand this. There needs to be brought back to the church this the baptism of the Holy Spirit needs to come back to its place. And it's not in the church world. The church world has cooled down. Back from when I came into the kingdom, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was taking its place in the church of what it needs. That the saints need this. Is today, it is not needed. Today, we don't have really... We have what we call evangelism today, but it's not really Bible evangelism. It's not Bible stuff going on. We need to understand if we go to the Bible and we look concerning these areas, we need to deal with the fact of the move of the Spirit. This is hugely important. You know, evangelism is not just words. Amen. That's what we have today. Evangelism is just talk. Jesus loves you and this and that and the other thing, you know, and you need to be saved and all this kind of stuff. The Bible, evangelism, was demonstrations of the Spirit. See, we live in a nation. See, one of the problems we are dealing with today is like opening when, you know, Mike said, the reason people like and legislatures don't deal with these judges is because they're just talk. Oh, they'll complain about somebody. They'll complain, but they don't do nothing. No, it's actions. Actions. You got to have words and actions. You know, have you ever go to the store and watch, you know, somebody walking around with their kid in the store and their kid just gets trouble. They say, hey, you going to stop that or I'm going to take you home. And they say that 490 times and they never do it. You know, well, that's all they are is wind and talk. It doesn't mean nothing. Amen. Most people are like that. Even Christians talk. You know, I understand this confession thing. It's important. But I'm going to tell you, if your actions don't match your confession, you blow in wind. I've learned this. How did I learn it? The Lord taught me. The Lord taught me about doing. You know, you can sit all you want. We can sing the songs about being healed. Are you going to act like you got it? Or are you just still waiting for it? Come on. Woo! Good preaching. See, the Lord taught me. You know, the Lord dealt with me this stuff personally. And he told me. He said he wanted me to take the things that I know and teach to other people. You know, that's one thing as I learned. There's a lot of ministers talk about healing, and that's all they are is wind is talk about healing. No, I'm going to tell you have to know how to do it, not just talk about it. You have to learn how to put it to action, you know. The Lord had me get up off my butt when I didn't feel like off my butt. I was, you know, no, I want to sit down. I ain't feeling good. Yeah, this and that. Well, and I had the Lord ask me, he said, well, do you believe you're healed? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then get up and act like it. I said, oh, dear Lord. I don't like discomfort. I'm an American. I get in trouble. If we deal with this judge, there's people ain't going to like us. And I don't like it when people don't like me. Because it's more important to keep my job than to do what's right. That's the most important. Shall I tell you the big trouble is in America? Love of money. The average American, the average church person will make a lot of their decisions based on money. You know, Randall Greer said this past year. He said the Lord spoke to him about extraordinary prosperity. Or a time of extraordinary prosperity. And I heard a lot of some different people say about it. They say, oh, wow, but God's going to do this, do that. Now, what are you going to do? You see, the word never changes. Are you going to give extraordinarily? Well, then you ain't going to see extraordinary. See, if you believe you're going to get extraordinarily, you know what you do? You start giving extraordinarily. If you ain't doing that, you can just watch somebody else get it. You can hear somebody else's testimony. See, this is turn around acting on the Word of God. You can turn around, God says things, but you still have to do the Word. Paul wrote about what you have to do to get blessed in giving. You know, you give a little, you get a little. If you believe God's going to do something. See, there's times I needed extraordinary. And you know what I learned to do? Give extraordinarily. I gave at times, Wanda and I gave at times, we were uncomfortable. My flesh was uncomfortable. If you ain't ever been there, you don't know much about the life of faith. The life of faith is to step out past the place where you have this good, gushy feelings. And your flesh is saying, what did you do that for? That don't make no sense. That's right. I ain't walking in sense. I'm walking by faith. Amen. Faith don't line up with senses. I learned that a long time ago. My senses defeated me for 30 years. My senses put me under for 30 years. It wasn't until I came to Christ and learned how to defy my senses and say, the Word's true. It don't matter how Ed feels about this. It's true. Jesus is Lord. See, I wake up some mornings and it don't feel like God's even in the county. But you know what? I don't say that. I say, He's in me. But you don't feel it. I don't care what my senses say. I don't care what my body's telling me is going on. It doesn't matter. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening my mortal flesh. And my body said, I don't feel quickened. Say, I'm sorry, you're quickened, you stupid thing. Come on. You go look in the mirror and talk to that stupid thing that's looking, whose eyeballs are looking out of. Quit going goo, goo, goo all the time to yourself. Tell that flesh to shut up, sit down, and listen. You just got to do that. I don't know. I just learned you do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to tell you what, this is the life of the supernatural. Amen. You don't find a lot of this among people who don't walk in the supernatural. They don't do that. They play to their flesh, they walk in everything, they do that because they don't want. There's a supernatural, the Christian life is a supernatural life. Amen. And if you don't walk in the supernatural, you're not walking in the Christian life. Even though it's there, you may be born again, but you're not walking in it. See, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. Anybody gets born again is a son, but that don't mean you're ever going to live in sonship. You may never live it. That place is found by this walking in the Spirit. And the last time I checked, today, I didn't get up this morning and see into the Spirit realm. I didn't have a great vision this morning. I didn't see into it. Yet it's real. The Word of God tells me it's real. And if I follow the words in the book, I am operating in that realm, whether I see it, feel it, or whatever. So you got to come over this. This is what the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, is about. This is what this stuff is deals with. And there's a level you'll walk in. It's like the Lord spoke to me and talked to me about end times and praying things. And He said, people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, they can't pray out certain things that need to be done. The only people that can do that are the people who pray in the Spirit. Pray outside of the natural, outside of your feelings, outside of your understanding. And this is what we need today. The majority of prayer that goes up for the church is all natural. Man's ideas and what man sees. You know, there's one. I can't look to the news media and tell if it's true or not. I'm sorry. I don't care who it is. They all report what men are doing, what they see on the outside and what they see going on. But we don't know people's hearts or what's happening here. See, this has to do with this being filled with the Spirit. Maybe we'll get there. I don't know. I had plans where I was going to go this morning. But it's just like, I'll walk up here and the Holy Ghost does something else. Hallelujah. That's just my gift. The Lord talked to me on Tuesday about that thing, about my gift, about yielding to my gift. Because, see, people have different gifts and they operate differently. And, you know, everybody wants to. He talked to me about the fact of, you know, God has me speak things into other ministers' lives. It's the strangest thing to me. Because there's things I don't even know or whatever's going on. It's like Joe Purcell over Christmas time. Wanda and I always send Joe a Christmas card and send them one to the, where they are in Singapore. And they said people don't send them cards. They send them to the ministry and that stuff, or they'll send things in texts and emails. But he said, Joe told me, he said, we always love it. We get a card from you guys. We actually get a card in our hand. And so I just said to Wanda's going to send a card off. And I said, I got to write some things down for Joe. And so I just wrote some things out about, and just thank God for how he was using him in the ministries. There's some things the Lord had me said, but then Joe turned around and sent me an email. Then he said it was wonderful. He said we actually got your card Christmas Day. He said that we could open and read it. Now you send it. This is air. We live in this wonderful technological age, and it takes a month for something to get over. I don't know what are airplanes. They fly 2 miles an hour. I don't know. Stupid. Anyhow, it got there. But anyhow, I put some things in there. But Joe said back, he said, see, this, I'm talking about the supernatural and operating. See, I don't know everything that Joe's going on. We communicate back and forth to each other. But, things that I talk to him about are sometimes the things you can't. He said, and he sent me a thing back. He said he read the things that I said in here. And he said they really spoke to us. And He said, there's no way you could have known about the things that you put in there. You see, and you know what? I didn't know that. You see, the gift works, and you need to understand this about yourself. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you don't have this kind of stuff happen through you, something's wrong with you. Now, I'm not saying to criticize. It's just part of the, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, things started operating in me. Things that I knew that I just could not have normally known. I couldn't have known. Things are revealed. See, we ignore stuff lots of times as God's trying to do. This is a spirit-filled life. Amen. This life is spirit-filled. It's into the spirit. See, the realm of the spirit, if you can learn to see into it, first you learn to see into it through the word. And then the Spirit directs you. There's a lot of things that you can see and pick up that the Holy Ghost don't even have to tell you. You can see because you operate over in the areas of the Spirit. If you're spilled with the Spirit, this needs to become norm. See, we need a move of God here in this earth. People talk about, prophesied the greatest move of God that ever was is going to happen right here at the end. Well, not with the church we got today. It ain't going to happen with. People got to become spiritual to operate in it. It ain't going to be a physical thing. It's about reaching the hearts of men, not reaching in their lunchbox. Because that's all we do. Trying to give everybody something. Trying to give them natural, this and that. But we don't have anything supernatural to offer. Nothing supernatural. And we want to offer supernatural. The thing that I love, see, I got involved into sorcery and things before I got born again because the church offered nothing. All the church had, what Christians have, is talk. I believe I want something outside. See, that's why people go to Disneyland and those places. They want something outside the ordinary. The church can't give it to them, so they got to go play someplace that offers them at least the experience and makes some goosebumps on them or something. Makes them feel good. That's why they do it. That's why everybody loves that stuff. See, we need to get this stuff out of here. No, I'm sorry. There's a supernatural place to walk in. There's a supernatural place to go. Amen. And see, we need this comes. I never had it until I got saved. Knew I was born again, a child of God. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, something changed. All of a sudden, things started in me that I never had before. It was the supernatural started in me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I can say this. Before I got saved, God communicated to me more than he did to most Christians who are born again to get me saved. He talked to me. Christians want to have a hard time getting a hold of God. No, it's a hard time getting a hold of you. I said, people have to figure. See, God is interested in, Jesus died for people.
Amen.
He's not hidden out. Jesus died. He gave victory, defeated Satan, so we can just live normal lives like we did before. No, we're a supernatural church. We're designed for the supernatural. Operating out of our spirits instead of out of our flesh. Our flesh is just this house we live in. When this house goes, you leave and go off to heaven. The only thing that allows you to be here in this earth is your flesh allows you to stay here because your spirit can live inside your body. But when your body dies, it goes. To come back here again, people up there, they're going to have to get a glorified body. They're going to have to get a body to be here. It's a body to be here in this earth. That's all it is. You just need a house to live in while you're here. Treat your body like it's a house. Now, paint your house every once in a while. Do some things. Take care of your house. That's what the Holy Ghost is in, to take care of the house. While you're here, you should not be spending all your time taking care of your house. You can supernaturally take care of your house. People are spending all their finances taking care of their house. So what we do, we know they do that because naturally people do it then in their homes. Everybody's trying to take care of. Taking care. We become so busy with the natural, we don't have time for the supernatural. We say we want it. I'm sorry. You only get what you spend time to do.
Come on.
What you sow into the spirit realm is what you get out of it. This is the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Lord. You know, one of the things is learn to do this. See, this supernatural life, this God life, it's got to be the way you think. Not just some Christian Sunday day talking.
Amen.
You know, I just think, I mean, I go to bed at night thinking, you know, I'll go to bed at night and talk to the Lord. I go to bed, I lay down in the bed, you know, and I'll talk to God. I'll pray in tongues and I'll talk to Him. Sometimes I ask Him questions about stuff. If I want to know something, I ask God about it. That's just what I want to know something. I want to understand something. I mean, I don't turn around. I don't look for some minister to go to find out to get an answer. I go to God first.
Amen.
People usually don't do that. You know, they'll go to everybody and everything and everything. See, I learned, you know, I go to the Holy Ghost school. And so I've learned, I live like, to me, I could not imagine that God wouldn't manifest Himself through me. I can't imagine that would happen.
Amen.
The only way I could think it could happen is that I just got so darn carnal, He couldn't get a hold of me. But see, that would be my fault.
Amen.
It wouldn't be because, you know, people say, well, you know, God isn't operating through a person because of this and because of that. No, the person shuts God off. God don't shut people off. All the gifts and callings of God are right repentance. It's what happens. We become dead to it. He don't become dead to us.
Amen.
He's alive to us.
Amen.
As we don't hear, we aren't spending time, we aren't doing whatever it is. Your thought life of how you think is a lot of times is what's going to determine what you're going to hear or not hear. When you mostly walk around thinking natural all the time, you actually what you do is you're actually turning off the supernatural from hearing it. You'll just turn it off from it because you're only listening to what's natural. If some other little thing comes, you'll just shut it right off right away. No, that, you know, what are the dumb fault for? You'll shut it off. It's how you think about it. I've never thought about it. I've never been one of these people that people have to pray night and day to get God to hear from heaven.
Amen.
I have never had to do that. I don't understand. If you're going to pray night and day, it's to get something done, to hook up with God, to do something. But God ain't moved out of town and He just got a string and two cans and that's how He talks to Ed. You know? And if you're far enough away, the string don't work. You know? Now, in front of the string and the can, the person got to be close enough to you can hear them. That's how that one works. But I found this out a lot of times. It's because of the way people think over time.
Amen.
See, people get in the thought that God is hard to get to. I've got to really sacrifice, I got to really do this, I got to really... Well, you're going to have to do that because you set that pattern. You did. God never did. See, you set the pattern. See, I think God will respond. The Bible talks about God responding to us quickly. Well, I'll tell you what, 99% of Spirit-filled people don't believe that. They're working at trying to get God to respond. They're working hard at it. Why? No. God responds to me quickly. Why? The Bible says so. If he doesn't respond to me quickly, it's never his fault. He's trying to. It's slow. You know, sometimes we miss it. See how you think this, see the word, the way you think about it. Most people think from God's side. Now think about it. God did all that he, God actually came down and lived among us. Is he hard to get to? Dear Lord, what are we thinking? Then he turned around and got born, gave us the Holy Ghost to live in us. Oh, it's just horrible. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. This Christian life's hard. No, Christian, if your Christian life's hard, it's because you're stupid. Now, I'm saying of this standpoint, it's because of what the Word said. The Word don't say the way we many times think. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. You know, we think about, well, is the strong tower hard to get in? Well, I hope not. You know, I was over in Vietnam and we had bunkers. They didn't put locks on the doors so you couldn't get inside of them. When you needed to get safe, you know. the church does. They, you know, God's just hard to, wow, good Lord. You know what? It's because people don't have Spirit-filled lives. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. God, is He good? Man, is He good? And you know what? I learned to talk like that when things just seem to be going bad. Oh, man, He's good. He's responded to me quickly. See how you think? He responds to me. That is going to set your own consciousness of how you listen to God, how you respond. See, you need to get like, this is about the Spirit-filled life. This tongue things and that stuff. God has set this system up. Why? This is the place of the supernatural that we operate into. Manifestation. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, when it tells we're supposed to desire earnestly spiritual gifts, that word to desire there means to crave or to, you know, really long for and really want. Manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Why would we as the church? Now, he wasn't writing to pastors. He wasn't writing to evangelists. He was writing to a church, and he told the people there, they're supposed to desire earnestly. They're supposed to crave for spiritual gifts. Do you think like that? No. Now, maybe once in a while you read the Bible and say, yeah, I think it. But I mean, this has to become a way of life of thinking. No. This is the Spirit-filled life. People say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Your thought life is going to be what you're full of.
Amen. Preach.
See, when stuff happens, over time, I have drilled myself. When something happens that doesn't good, the first thing I look to is the Lord. First thing, I just stop right there.
Amen.
First thing, that's the first place to go. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's the first thing you look to. A lot of times people, that's the last thing. You know, people go through things with their health and stuff, and God's the last one they notify when they found out the doctor and everybody else, Cousin Harry can't do nothing for him. And this person can't, that person can't. Then they go, then we're going to go to God. You know? Well, we've been trained, you know? You know, go to the doctor and find out, you know, sensibly what might be wrong with you so you know how to write to believe God to get well. Well, what does a guy do when he ain't know a doctor? Just roll over and die? He can't believe God. Oh, we're a bunch of monkeys in America. That's what we are, a bunch of monkeys. Christian monkeys. I'm going to tell you what, half the time the doctors can't figure out what's going on. How many people have been misdiagnosed? Well, you're believing for something that don't even go on. Ain't even happening. Folks, this is good. See, we need to, this bubble needs to be broken.
Amen.
Now, we didn't have, when I came in the kingdom, that wasn't, this bubble wasn't our, man, we were nuts for the Lord. I mean, people were, and they were just after. And what over time, see, people got real civilized, you know, we become, you know, we got around, you know, that we're now real dignified people, you know. Because, see, when we were talking in tongues on television, we weren't dignified, you know. Now we are. Now we're dignified, you know. We talk. We might mention it once in a while, but you don't ever do it. Yeah, and we got a ministry on television. Yeah, everything but the Spirit. When you're ashamed of the least, don't be surprised the most don't happen. We want big moves of God, ashamed of the least. Can you imagine the day of Pentecost? The first thing God manifests of the Holy Ghost. People talking in tongues. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, they heard them talking in their language and they said, well, they were speaking all these different languages. Holy Spirit told me one day about this. I was over doing some reading and studying and he said, the Bible never says that they spoke in all those different languages. It said they heard them. Well, you know, I want you to say this. We know 3,000 people got saved. How many different countries and stuff? How can let me say this. So we know the crowd, if 3,000 got saved, there was more than 3,000 there. You got this crowd. How can they hear these 120 people all talking in their different languages and they didn't have a microphone system and they didn't have, how did they hear this thing? You see, we think in our thoughts and our ways. You know, God could have you talking in tongues and what another person hears or you say could be a whole different thing. I will guarantee you this. There's people sometimes, I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about, you know, he spoke in language. God said he heard him speaking in his language. I often wonder, did he was really talking in tongues in that person's language? Was he really? The fact that the person heard that didn't mean that he was actually talking in that language. See, we throw that over there. We add those things on. Because, see, in the natural, you know, many times we just water down the supernatural. We water it down. Let God be supernatural through us. It don't matter if it makes sense. It's God working. Amen. Let's let Him just work in us supernatural. Let's let Him do something. Amen. Let's let Him work in a way through us. See, this is this supernatural life. See, you don't go into churches that they don't have, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking of that. You don't go in and find the manifestations of the gifts. Now, understand this. Here's one of the things that you need to get. I'll do that. Yeah, okay. One of the reasons why supernatural gifts don't operate through you maybe like you'd like them to is because most of the time you want gifts to operate for you and towards you. That's not what they're for. You're baptizing the Holy Ghost to manifest gifts to minister to other people. They're not for you. You don't need the gift of healing. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, making alive your mortal body. You're supposed to be a believer. If you need a gift of the Spirit, it's because you ain't believing. Baby Christians and untaught Christians need gifts many times to help them. This is why in Spirit-filled churches, you don't see much of gifts operating. It's not a need for it. The gift you need seed operating is the one that's operating through me now, telling you. Amen. That's what you need. This is a gift in operation.
Amen.
And this thank gift ain't
Lord.
For me, it's for you.
Thank you, Lord.
I ain't got a note on the thing, so I didn't know it was going to happen. It just blows up in me like that. You know, I just, you know, and I just want to say this to you. This is why you got to get out of the thing of saying about any of your greatness or anything. You know, I was talking to the Lord on Tuesday night about this. I said the strangest thing because these gifts, things operate through me and I know stuff. And it ain't because I know I'm bright. It's the gift. It's God. You can't quit patting yourselves on the back. If you live a pretty good Christian life, don't pat yourself. The only reason you live is because God in you. Without God, you're just the same knucklehead. You'd be just like the judges you don't like.
Come on, preach.
God's the difference in this thing.
Amen.
I don't pat me. This is the gift. If it turns out good, we know It was God. It was God. And we have to understand this about gifts and they operate. It don't matter. Any manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they operate as the Spirit will. The Spirit is the one that does it. It don't happen because you're wonderful or you're good.
Come on.
It don't even happen sometimes because you're spiritual. I'll tell you what, there's people who live pretty carnal lives, but they know how to yield to things of the Spirit concerning spiritual gifts, and God uses them powerfully. I've watched ministers who are downright pretty carnal, but yet God moves through them powerfully and does because they yield over to it. The church at Corinth. Now, read the both letters. Oh, they were a real spiritual group, weren't they? Paul ought to write to him and say, don't you guys know that you're the temples of God, the Spirit of God? I mean, they're in first grade. They're in kindergarten. And he said, you come behind in no gifts. One of the biggest false lies ever been taught in the church. You got to get real spiritual to God to use you. Well, if that happens, he ain't using nobody. And nobody got that far. He uses us in spite of us.
Amen.
He uses us because what he did in us and what he put in us. All we did is come and God got born again. And he works in us. This is why many Christians can't receive gifts. They're always judging the box it comes in. They're because they're carnal. They judge the box it comes in. But the gift. You have to understand what the gift is. You've got to understand the gift in operation. I've come to things no matter who it came through.
Amen.
I've listened to ministers already teaching on subject, and I think, my God, they don't know nothing really about the subject they're teaching. But all of a sudden, they'll turn around and give a revelation. God works through them and gives something out to them. You think, oh, my God. They give something really good to say, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's God working. Sure wasn't because they were smart. It's God working. Why? Now, I know this God can operate through you because he can operate through donkeys. He talks through donkeys, so I'm sure you might be able to be used. Hey, I'm just a donkey. I'm going to tell you, make yourself a donkey.
Come on.
Just make yourself the beast of burden. Just carry the gift and let God use it. See, the prophet riding a donkey, God tried to get a hold of him and tried to get a hold of him. God finally stopped and said, you know what? I can get through the donkey. He ain't trying to do something else. I found people sometimes, they're not very real spiritual. But one thing they are about their life and things of God, they're a donkey. They let themselves. I learned these things, Kenneth Hagin. Lord, I'll give that. An illustration Kenneth Hagin had, a woman came to him in a church that he was ministering at and asked him a question. She said, could you tell me why? She said, my husband, my family, she said, they go to church all the time. They're tithers. They do this, they do that. And they all go. She said, if any of them ever got healed, she said, I don't know it. And they don't either. Now, they're spirit-filled people. She said, my husband's family, she said, they're in and out, up and down. But she said, my God, she said, they get healed all the time. She said, things go for them all the time. And well, Kenneth Hagin said, she said, could you tell me why? He said, well, I can't tell you exactly what's going on. But he said, there's certain things, and here's about knowing the scriptures, see. He said, there's certain things that I could tell you. Probably, he said, your family, they're probably people who are quick to forgive. She said, oh, yes. She said, if somebody does something to them, they'll just forgive a drop of a hat. And he said, there are probably people, if they miss it, they'll correct, they'll do it right away. She said, oh, yes. She said, if they do something, they think somebody else hurts, they'll go apologize quick. They do those kind of things. Now, they aren't people doing all these. See, we have in the church today all these religious things to do, but people are not doing what Jesus called the more weighty things. See, there's things that are more weighty to do.
Amen.
So God, he went through some things with them about things about those. She said, now I would say this. She said, he said, what about your family? Oh, no, she said, they'll forgive eventually. She said, if they have to, you know. And he went on to things about, you know, them and doing things. They're not quick. They're not respond. They have to be pushed through to things, you know. And see, those kinds of differences concerning, see, those people were yielded more over to the spiritual side, even though they weren't, there's things about it that, hey, it would have been good if they went to church more. That'd been nice. But the weighty things they did, and the churchgoer didn't. You know, they gave because they had to. The other ones, they would just give, you know. They said they'd give the shirt off their back. Whatever it is that they helped somebody, they'd do it. They'd give it. They were just that way. And see, this, I learned those things back as a young Christian. Listen to those stories and realize there's things if you want to connect to in the Spirit, you can fast night and day and do all kinds of stuff, but that don't mean nothing's going to happen for you if you aren't doing the more weighty things. This is a great problem. This is good preaching.
Amen.
I had no pleasure in this. You know, this just, I sort of feel like, you know, you're crossing a stream, you're jumping from stone to stone. You just, that's what I sort of feel like I'm doing, you know. We're going to get across the stream, I hope. We ain't going to drown. Hallelujah. But see, this has to do with their life for the Spirit. Because see, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. A people who should be able more yielded in these areas are the Spirit-filled people. We should be more conscious spiritually of what's in us and what's working in us. Because see, gifts of the Spirit, they come out of me on the inside. It's just like I've been worried about, all of a sudden I'll get inside the story ought to tell. They just, these things come up in me. All of a sudden, they aren't some, oh, big voice from heaven. See, I've learned this stuff. When I was in the service, I learned this, and the Lord taught me. The Lord said He was going to use my military training to teach me to walk by faith. Well, when you're in the military, it's mostly noisy. training and stuff, everything's noisy. You had to learn to listen to what you were trained to do, the things they taught you to do, you had to learn to do them when it's noisy, when the war's going on, when the shooting's going on. You don't stop and fast and pray in the middle of battle. You need to hear. You were trained to do, this is what we do. You know, they trained us to do things that did not make sense naturally, but when you got into combat situations, you could see the benefit of doing it. If you were one of the complainers and griped and moaned all the time because they were making you do stuff you didn't like, you know, you're the kind of guy that people shoot in battle so to save their own lives. See, we need to understand this. Spiritually, it's the same way. The Lord said, I'm going to teach you. I learned this. You need to learn to train yourself. See, as you talk in your life and you're doing it in the way you think, you train yourself. When you get into battle, you'll pick things up in your spirit because of the way you think. You just automatically pick things up. You need to, you know, there's sometimes you need to take, we need to take time and just spend time with the Lord and that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times, the people's failure is they can't hear in battle, so they're going to lose the battle, and then they'll go to the Lord and fast and pray to find out what to do to get out of the mess they're in. When they could have gotten out of the mess into battle. That's good preaching. Amen. It didn't make sense.
Amen.
See, this is why you want these ways of thinking. You want to put on the Spirit-filled life in your mind. Not just Spirit-filled in your spirit. You want to put on Spirit-filled thinking. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. God will work through me. I don't know everything that's going on. I don't know everything. It's just like it with Joe. I've done it a number of times. First time I ever did it with Joe. Joe and I, this was 1988. Joe and I, we were in a whole group of people, hundreds of people there. We're having a prayer thing going on at Rhema. It was called prayer school. Prayer school was this. You went most of the time just prayed. They might share a few things. You spend time in prayer. You want to learn about how to operate in prayer? Quit going to school and start praying sometime. You'll learn a little bit about it. You might get over in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost will teach you something. Everybody wants to become a great prayer, going to classes, and they go to classes and classes and classes and classes and more classes, and they go to more and more classes, and no one spend any time praying. Woo! My God. Oh, but anyhow, you know, we're there. So Joe, here I am. I'm a first-year student. He's a second-year student. But see, I had learned before I ever got to Rhema how to yield to gifts of the Spirit. And I knew God used me in the areas, words of wisdom and words of knowledge and things like that. And we were just praying and that stuff there. And the Lord gave me a couple words about to Joe. And so we were done praying and stuff. Joe and him, Joe was there. I knew who Joe was. And I was talking and I just said, and usually it starts like this with me. There's a couple words I come and know. And I'll just say those few words I know. And when I do, then all of a sudden it's like things starts to flow. Then the gift starts. See, sometimes it don't even make sense why you would. Well, you got these couple words. Well, I want to know. Well, what else am I supposed to go with it? See, we feel uncomfortable. It's your flesh. It ain't your spirit feels uncomfortable. It's your flesh and your mind trying to reason.
Amen.
That's what. And you feel uncomfortable. And I'm gonna tell you what. There's times I just downright feel uncomfortable. There's times I just, you know, but I've learned over time to throw caution to the wind. Amen. Say, well, what if you miss it? Well, join the club. We've all been there. I found this out over time. I hit it a lot more than I miss it.
Amen. Thank you.
If you don't do it, you miss it every time.
That's right.
You missed it every time. So you do it. And I just told Joe, and I spoke to Joe about his ministry, is what he's going to do. Now, you know, Joe, now this was something of speaking, because I was speaking a word of wisdom of Joe's future. Joe was sort of started, and I'll never forget this, as Joe got over and he left the Rhema and ended up in the ministry for a few years and that stuff. And then I ran into Joe, and Joe said, man, he said, I always think about what you said. He said, it's exactly what's coming to pass. It's exactly what's happening. God's called me to. It's exactly. You know, now, I didn't know none of that. So this isn't Ed Gibson was brilliant, a real spiritual guy. This was the Holy Spirit using the donkey. That's all it was, is the Holy Ghost using the donkey. And since that time, the Lord has had me numbers of times, write down things or write text, send it to Joe. And Joe, every time, say, it was about things that God's leading him to, and I was a verification to him. I didn't know it all. I didn't know at all what God had him doing. I just used the words that God gave me. Now, I do that lots of times. Sometimes, you know, God has me, like with people, like with Joe, to sit down and type something out or write something out, do it like that. Once I start, I'll start writing, and all of a sudden things just start coming to me, and I just start writing out those things that come to me. I just write them down. And they don't, you know. Now, God made me use that. Maybe he used you a little bit different than that, but that's the way he uses me. But understand, he's just using a donkey. It's God's gift. It isn't Ed's.
Amen. Come on.
You know, my ministry gift, it was given by God. It's a gift. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they operate as the Spirit wills. The Holy Spirit has the gifts. I don't. The Holy Spirit has them. So if we want them in operation, we must be able to yield to him when he wants to operate them. We don't dictate when he's going to operate them. Which means we got to be led by the Spirit. See, many people are trying to dictate things. We don't dictate them. We stay ourselves over in the areas where we're keen to him spiritually. And I'll tell you, I believe anybody can learn to do this. It's not hard. It's just changing the way you think. Start thinking about yourself spiritually. Thinking about God wants to manifest himself through me. You know?
Amen.
God wants to do that. Not God wants to operate me, but I'm just as stupid. I just can't get there. I don't understand this, and I don't see when you do that, you just kicked yourself under the bus. Nobody else has to do that. You'll do it. No, God wants to manifest himself. He'll bring wisdom. He'll have wisdom. I thank God for wisdom beyond I got. Dear Lord, we're in trouble if it's all I got. This is why Christian principles of the scriptures need to be taught with education. American education is lacking any spirituality, and it makes ignoramuses spiritually who can't be used by God. Because people don't. If the churches, and I'll tell you, the average church you're going to go to, they're not going to teach you spirituality. They're going to teach you nice things. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't kick your mama in the shins and, you know, do stuff like that. Tell you, you know, give poor people hamburgers and do, they'll tell you all them things like that or, you know, but they don't teach you spirituality. And so people don't know how to do it. They don't know how to yield. The Holy Ghost is like the church at Corinth. Don't you know that you're the temple of God, the Spirit of God lives in you? See, that needs to be a reality, that is more real to you than anything else in your life.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you this. That reality is more real in me than Wanda's my wife.
Amen.
Wanda don't live in me.
Amen.
The Spirit of God in me, I talk to Him all the time.
Amen.
Why? He lives in me. My God, He got an apartment. You know, I'm the landlord. Shouldn't I be able to talk to him? You know, what happens if somebody moves in and rents out a spot and they never talk to her and won't converse with the landlord or anything? They might be looking for another place to live. He's in you. And see, get that knowledge in you that He's in you. He's your helper. God, do we need help? Do you know why the Holy Ghost is our helper? Because we're donkeys. We're not right. God is the genius.
Amen.
God put the genius in you. And I'm going to tell you, He'll make you look smart.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, and not from the standpoint, people may run around and pat you on the back, but spiritually you can be smart. You can be very keen spiritually. Many times I found out people who sit in the pews and churches and different things like are more spiritually keen than their ministers are. They're more spiritually keen. I've seen that time and time and time again. See, you can become spiritually keen on things.
Amen.
Picking things up. And see, you need to learn. You're gifted. God will use you and gift you in different ways and use you. And especially, you need to know, you get into circumstances, you may need manifestations of certain things because of the situation. You know, this is why, you know, some people say, well, I have the gift of healing. I want more than that to offer because I run into people and healing ain't the issue and we need help. See, when people get minimized and do these things, get wrong types of thinking, it's like I've said, I have had every manifestation of all the gifts operate through me at one time or another. I've had every one of them. Now, they don't operate all the time. Now, there's one thing about it, ones that operate, and I think in the church world and listening to other people who, before me, who knew a lot more than I did, the areas of the word of wisdom and word of knowledge should be much more fluent in the church world. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, those were gifts that started operating in through me right away. The words of wisdom and words of knowledge started operating. And I noticed this among people that turn around and get spiritually keen, those things operate. Because there's one thing about it, there's a lot of things dealing with the words of wisdom and word of knowledge. They change situations. When you understand things present and understand things future, you can help a lot of people. God can help a lot of people understanding. I found this out. Many times people don't even, they're praying about a situation and they don't even understand what the situation is. This is where the word of knowledge comes and all of a sudden you see what's really going on and you become, oh. See, it's like the Lord said to me one time, going through a thing. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. And then He showed me what I was actually dealing with and I thought, boy, was He right. My praying and all I was doing, I was wasting my time. I was wasting my time praying on what I saw and felt and whatever else. But that wasn't what the underlying problem was. There was something spiritual involved there that was not being dealt with. Sometimes it's dealing with people. We pray too much about people, about what we see they're doing, not why they're doing it. This is why God gives you, could give you a word of wisdom or knowledge. Now, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. We're talking about this is the Spirit-filled life. It starts with tongues. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost? I planned on getting over, you know, using an example of that today, but it isn't going that way. So we just have to go where the Holy Ghost is going on this. But, you know, getting over in the areas of dealing with this manifestations of the Spirit, not knowing, if you don't, you know in situations, the Holy Spirit is well able to reveal to us things. Because lots of times we get over in areas, like I said, we don't know what's happening sometimes with people or things. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will open up to you and show you something that completely changes the way that the direction you were going to go. I've found myself many times praying about things and stuff, not understanding really what was actually going on or happening. And I got a revelation, and all of a sudden I thought, oh my God. You know, there was an individual, first time this happened to me, I was praying for an individual off and on for a year. For a year. But see, what I did never did, see, I had scripture talking about walking in love. This person's a pain in the neck. This person ain't nothing but trouble, causing problems. Well, you know, I'm going to walk in love with them. You know, we're going to walk in love. I'm Mr. Nice Guy, this and that and the other thing. You know, and I'm trying to, so I'm praying really nice about this guy. You know, I'm praying nice about this thing. And this is why people don't understand. You know, sometimes situations need judged. And judgment's love. Anybody that won't judge things ain't walking in love. There's things that need judged. Well, I wasn't judging the situation, which God expected me to. So I'm praying about this guy, but finally, you know, see, I'm using my great wisdom in dealing with this. Now, I know the Bible says you walk in love, but I should ask the Lord about some things about this situation. And here I am laying across on a Saturday afternoon. I can just tell you, I was laying across the bed, you know, over, not up with the bed, with the pillows. I'm laying across the other way. I'm just laying on my back, and I'm laying there, and I was meditating on some things that, about the service on Sunday. And I was meditating on some things of Scripture. All of a sudden, this rose up in me about this guy, and I said, what about so-and-so? Now, I want to just tell you this. This is the first time I talked to God about it. See, all I've been doing before, I've been praying out of Ed's wisdom and knowledge. The donkey don't know everything. The donkey don't know. And just like that, it's the first time I asked the Lord about it. And just, see, people say, I need to hear from God. You know why I didn't hear from God? I never asked. That's why you haven't heard from God. Oh, you've complained about your problem. You've done it. But you never asked God. He says, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Ask and you shall receive. You haven't got answers because you never asked. And many times people never ask specifically to God. They just sort of whine about a problem. God help me. God help me. No, you need wisdom. Why don't you ask for some? If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives liberally. Well, I needed wisdom. And it wasn't until I asked till it came, and these words came right away. He's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And I said, Lord, I've done wasted a year praying for this guy. Because I realized when he said that, this guy ain't going to change. He needs to be dealt with. And you know what? I dealt with him, and he left. And I don't have to put up with his problems anymore. I lived for a year with what I wouldn't have had to. We could have got rid of him before. But see, me is, I'm going to be Mr. Sweet. You know, Mike talked about putting people to death. God gave, it says, the government the right to use the sword. You think it ain't love? It's because he loves the good people, and he needs to get some bad people out of the way to keep good people alive. Because he loves. And all these loving Christians that are trying to keep everybody alive, somebody needs to put some of them to death. Woo! Good preaching.
Come on.
They're nothing but curses. They curse the good and love the evil.
Come on. Preach.
Woo! The Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, you need to understand this. We want to move. We want to move a move of God while we lie. We don't want to speak certain things because it makes people uncomfortable.
Come on.
We don't want to speak them. Bible says, "Speak the truth in love." It didn't say, "Speak love."
Come on.
Truth is love. If what you're saying ain't the truth, you a liar.
Come on,
You know, they used to get a, you'd go to, I don't know if any did jury duty or anything like that. They used to lay their hands on the Bible years ago. I'll tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And that's the last thing most Christians will do. They won't tell you. They'll say, I'm talking truth. Yeah, but not the whole truth. And not nothing but the truth. You know? Whether we like it all, sometimes you can be a really loving Christian, but sometimes you're going to have to put the gun on it and go out on the street and have a draw. I'm sorry, you're going to have to do it. And if you don't do it, you a liar and you're a fake.
Come on.
We're not talking about John here. Sometimes you have to do that.
Amen.
We hate confrontation. Christianity is confrontation. Just what it is. You walk in the Spirit, and I'll just tell you this, fleshly people get unhappy. I found out this is first. If you walk in the Spirit, the first group that gets unhappy are the Christians who are in the flesh. That's the first group, it's man. They will get mad before the world does. Who got upset at Jesus? Wasn't it the religious folk? That's always the first.
Amen.
Jesus said they hated you, they're gonna hate you too. Kenneth Hagin said this. These things were said when I was a young Christian, and I paid good attention because I found out of the truth. He said, if you're going along and everybody likes you and thinks you're nice, he said, you ain't living right. Because you're gonna walk a life in the Spirit. You're going to rub a lot of people wrong.
Come on.
It's just the way it is. And you don't try it. But you know, they'll come along. I find people, you know, doing things. I say, no, I can't do that. Rub them wrong. I'm sorry. See, you got to walk in truth. You ain't trying to cause a problem. They are. Boy, they didn't get mad. You know, well, I'll tell you what. I believe it's right. Well, so-and-so said it's okay. And those said, yeah, they'll always, you know, don't matter what God said. It's so-and-so. See, I'm worshiping so-and-so. You know, he's one. He said it. He said it's okay. That makes it okay. See, this is spirit. This is one thing. Spirit-filled life keep you out of trouble.
Amen.
Here's one thing it does: keep you honest.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what: the spirit-filled life will judge you. Sometimes I think that's why some Christians don't like to get over in the spirit-filled side some, because it does judge you. If you look, you get over it, it judges you.
Amen.
But number one, it don't judge you to kill you, it judges you to help you.
Amen.
And I'm sure it'll aggravate your flesh some. years ago, when Lord, you're dealing with something, I said, Lord, why don't you bug somebody else about that? And he just kept bugging me about it. So I finally gave in. You know, I don't know. I'm not one of these people. You know, sometimes change can become hard, bringing your flesh under. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, you ain't got very spiritual. Getting spiritual is having to deal with your flesh, and that's just
Amen.
The way life is.
Thank you, Lord.
You know? Glory to God. But one of the things I just want to encourage you, look into the Scripture. Read and look at the things, what the spirit-filled life is like. Look at it. You know, we're not trying, you know, we have this thing of following these set rules. I don't follow a rule not to steal.
Amen.
The love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. It's not my nature to steal. Why would I have to follow a rule that I don't steal? See, a lot of Christians live by Christian rules. It's why, because if they got in contact with their spirit, man, the freedom would be wonderful. It would just be, this is just my nature to live like this. It is my nature to love the Lord. It is just, I tell you what, I like Him. I tell you what, I'm just so grateful for Him. It is just my nature to be that way. I'm not trying to do it. Well, we got to worship God. Well, forget it. Stay home. It ain't going to do you a bit of good. Worship's just natural. It's what it's what my nature is to honor Him. And nobody has to make a worship rule. We don't even need music. I can do it.
Come
We don't have to have lights and, you know, some video going and stuff and things. I don't need a whole concert with lasers and everything. That ain't worship. Worship comes from the spirit of man, not from laser lights and guitars. And thank God people can use stuff, but that isn't where worship comes from. If I have to go, oh man, we went and had the greatest worship service. I can just tell you this for the truth. The greatest worships I've ever had is me and the Lord personally. The greatest ones I've ever had. I have never been, I haven't been in a church service, has been great. I'm going to tell you, I've worshiped the Lord already. The power of God hit me and knocked me out on the floor. God showed up and man, you know, when God shows up, probably knock you down. I mean, he's... But see, they're just worshiping God yourself. Just think, that power's living in us. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're supernatural. Talk about yourself being supernatural. It's your nature. It is your nature to be supernatural.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
As they used to have a saying at Rhema, which was really good and was used a lot, was the fact of many times people are looking for the miraculous and they miss the supernatural. The miraculous, lots of times people are looking and it's their eyes are first. It's what they see. They want to see. They want to see. The supernatural many times comes, it's hidden. You got to pick it up spiritually. It can manifest itself where you turn around and see things happen in the natural. But the only reason they happen in the natural is because they're first manifested in the spirit. See, like gifts of healing going into manifestation, it first happens in the spirit. It don't happen in the natural. You don't pick up on it. It ain't going to operate through you. I don't care. God, have you noticed as God just run around just healing people, just boom, 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 and doing it, and everybody just stands around and watches. Nobody's involved. People are involved. That's why we need to be keen to the supernatural. Tongues is a supernatural gift. Don't seem like much, but I tell you what, it's the key to the rest of it. You understand its importance and its place. You understand the key that God put in here. It seems little to men, but it's so great to God, He gave it first. And man turns around and minimizes it today. It's a slap in the face to our Lord. It's a slap in the face to the Holy Spirit. People wonder why the Holy Spirit don't respond to him. Because they slap him in the face all the time with their religious junk. People say, I want the greater gifts. Well, that's good to be manifesting the greater gifts. But I'll tell you what, baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues is great. There has been so many things changed in this world. There would have not been any other great gifts given had people not yielded to tongues. Look at Paul's ministry. And people, yeah, boy, God used him and that stuff. Yeah, he got stoned too. But there's one thing that he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Do you think there was a reason? You think he didn't have anything else to do while he was walking around? Well, I'm down in jail, so we might as well, he got nothing else to do. Might as well pray in tongues. I can't wait till I get out of here. I don't have to do this anymore. Praying in tongues rejuvenates your own spirit.
Amen.
Doing things that are spiritual rejuvenates your spirit.
Amen.
Doing natural things doesn't do it.
Come on.
Feeding on other people and doing things don't make you spiritual and doesn't develop your spirit.
Come on.
Doing natural things for people, we do natural. We need to do them because we're spiritual and we're in the spirit. That's why they don't. We're trying to be spiritual by what we do in the natural. Spiritual starts off on the inside. It don't start out on the outside. It don't go out and come in. See, the devil tries to work from the outside. He shows you the junk on the outside. He turns around and, you know, shows you a woman or another guy that looks real good, he operates through your flesh, trying to get to your mind through your flesh and the desires of the flesh. God don't do that. I don't know God by what I see on the outside.
Amen.
I know God. Some people say, well, my, look, this creation, we know there's a God. Well, you might know there's a God, but you don't know Him. You just know what He did, you know? Henry Ford built the Model T's. I never met him once. I don't know him just because I saw his Model T. I don't know Henry. And you can't look at creation. Well, I'll let you go out into creation and worship. Yeah, well, that's right. You're going to go worship creation. Go ahead, have a big time. And you're worshiping God. God is worship from the spirit of man, spirit and truth. That's worship. Not trees and truth. Not this or that or the other thing. Spirit and truth. And see, walking in a line of those things. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. One thing God wants to bring back, the things of the Spirit. There's something the Lord showed me concerning these end times. It's one of the things that the Lord showed me on Tuesday night. Is we're getting close toward the end of things because of things going on. One of the things that I saw... in Rhema, it's like we used to pray for the Soviet Union. At that time, they called it, the Iron Curtain. The Soviet Socialist Republic was made up of many nations that were under Russia. Russia dominated them and ruled them. And those things came down and really came down because there became a breakup of other nations began to start to draw. You know, God was working in this thing. It wasn't man's thing. Now, you know, there's a lot of lying in history today, even among the so-called good people, the conservatives. I want to tell you what. I lived through it, and I saw it was around it. When the Iron Curtain came down, the conservatives were as surprised as everybody. Nobody thought East Germany was going to turn around and stop and throw the towel in. For military-wise, those guys were... tougher than any of the Russians ever were, and they were most, I'm going to tell you what, their communist government was as hard could get. And they turned around through the towel. Said, okay, we're going to open up. They did it. Well, this is a move of God. And man didn't see the move of God. The people didn't do it, didn't see it going on. And when it happened, they were surprised. But see, that curtain came down because of people praying. When I was at Rhema, every day we would pray. Bible. When I was there in school, 2 years, we prayed concerning that wall coming, with the Soviet Union breakup. The Soviet Union breakup, we prayed about it every day. We'd point to a map and head on and pray about that every day. See, in the spirit, it was being said. The wall came down. When that wall came down, I'm sorry, it spiritually came down first. If it hadn't, it would have never came down. Well, God's doing something. Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said, before Jesus Christ returns, he said, the bamboo curtain's going to come down. He talked about China. And really, his focus was China. But he was speaking of what he knew at the time. The Lord showed me something because, I saw something. And when I wrote to Joe Purcell, I said to Joe about this because God has opened up. You see, it isn't just China. We're talking about a lot of Southeast Asia. It really falls under this area because we've had like North and South Vietnam under there. You have, go to the North there, China. You have Korea and North Korea. You have all this stuff that's going on there and that stuff with China. And really that's all part of this, what they called the bamboo curtain was called at that time. That was a term the knowledge was used. And in a sense, it's another one of the devil's iron curtains that he put up. But you know, God has opened up with Joe Purcell here to these things in Vietnam. Now, here's again. North Vietnam was a really hard communist country. I mean, even when China started to soften some under negotiations with America's own thing, North Vietnam didn't soften at all. It didn't get soft about anything. It was still a very hard communist nation. And to think today that now they've opened up the door to Christianity. And the Lord showed me, because I said to you, the North and the South Vietnam is part of this. See, we're entering into a move of God here to bring down that what Brother Hagin called the bamboo curtain. This is part of the last day move of God that Brother Hagin saw would take place. And I wrote to Joe about this. And That was one of the things that he responded back about that. See, God is moving in this area. And the Lord spoke to me about it on Tuesday night. We spoke about this. We're in this thing here. We're moving toward this. I just want to tell you this. Don't pay attention even what Donald Trump might say about things. We're moving into a time. China's going to make a big change. And they're going to do in the same way, the Lord showed me this, and I just want, is in the same way that Russia came down. Russia got broke. They couldn't keep up. This thing with tariffs, anybody who's fighting over this tariff thing and don't like the tariff thing, and if you don't like because you pay higher prices on certain things, sit down and shut up. Listen to God. Because China's in big trouble now. Money isn't coming to China. People aren't buying their stuff. You need, whether we like it or not, the devil runs by bucks. He promotes the love of money. There's one thing you can say about money. You can be a Christian, but if you get too much money, you can buy a lot of sin for yourself. You can buy a lot of stuff that keeps you occupied and away from God. You know, money's good to have, but you got to watch. Can't let money have you. Amen. Can't let money, because money can really work on your flesh. You know, it can really do that. Ain't not, hey, I like money. I'm glad to have some. I mean, you know, I don't want to be Nigeria. You know, I want to have more. So, but you got to turn around. If you don't stay spiritually in tune, it'll lead you off. Well, see, China's in a hurt now because what Trump has done. We got billions of dollars investments that are coming back into the United States. See, we don't see it now. These are investments that are coming. Plants are going to be built. The Americans want to see everything happen in 2 seconds. Why? Because we're carnal people. You know, Trump's supposed to come in and fix all the economy, you know, in 1 year. I'm going to tell you what, ain't going to be to his last year that we see the fullness of what all this is. But you know what? Even most spirit-filled Christians ain't got that much patience. You know, they got about 2 weeks of it. That's the average spirit-filled got about 2 weeks of patience in their problem. And God is moving things and money. Like we just have to. They said here in the United States, just in the United States, 30, because of the United States. See, when Trump's following God and this stuff, he put the brakes on the electric cars thing, which the devil was using to bankrupt America. And Americans loved it, and even Christians, because I can buy a car and I can get a huge amount of money from the government to buy it, which all the time was stealing from America's wealth. Trump put it to a halt. And now China, just overnight, they were the number one battery people in the world. They just lost 30% of their sales. That's a big kick in the pants. See, God has this man working in a thing here, and if you can't recognize it, it's because you're not spiritual. God will talk to you about it. Number one, you know, don't get, well, you know, everything's just darn expensive. Yes, it is, and I got money to pay for it. I will not say I don't. You know, I go with Randall Greer. He said, if a sop of biscuit in a gravy, he said, if it costs $100, I'll still have as many sops as I want. And I just go, I'm going to have as many sops as I want.
Amen. That's right.
See, it's how you think. Do you think spiritually or you look at the natural? Well, things aren't, this boy, this stuff is high. I'm telling you, it can't get higher than my money.
Come on.
How could it go further than my God? If he can't take care of me, he ain't worth spit. If he lied to me about this giving things, and I've been generous toward him, and he lied, I'm going to tell you, he's in trouble. He ain't going to get this donkey to carry him. Mm-mm. I ain't a fool. I might be a donkey, but I'm not a dumb donkey.
Amen.
I can talk. Hallelujah. You see, God's working in things. And you have to recognize it. If you look out in the natural, you'll get confused. If you look out in the natural and you judge things, You'll become a whiner and a complainer. If you look out there and you don't really understand and see what's going on. See, I've learned to say, hey, God's using the man. Let him go. He knows more about business than Ed does. He knows more about that. But one thing is he has an anointing by God to stand in this place right now. I'm going to tell you, I'll just be honest with you. There is no man would ever have stood through what he has gone through over all these years. Nobody would ever come back and ask for presidency again. We never had a good Republican that Egan should be shining his shoes. But he has an anointing from God. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to honor and respect that anointing. Because if I want to stay spiritual, I have to. Because there's places God will never direct me or show me or give me wisdom in if I oppose. See, you got to recognize what God is using and what he's not. See, there's many people who are critical. They're critical of this and critical of that. They don't know if God's in it or not. They think God's not in it, so they run their mouth about it and don't realize God's in it. You better know. You better know about stuff. There's one thing as I've learned about this. This is God's anointing on the guy. It ain't Republican Party at all. The Republican Party's the same bunch of dumb idiots they always were. They're still running their little political machine and they're still doing that. You know, and Trump's out here, he's built his own machine. He has. And they just tag along like a bunch of little puppies. And they bark a little bit. See, aren't we tough too? Arf, arf, arf. And he makes them nervous. He does. Hallelujah. See, he says things he shouldn't. Of course he does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I ain't his judge. But I'm going to tell you what. God has used a man. And you know what? I want God to use the man. I want you to think of how bad it is. God couldn't raise up a Christian to do it. Ain't that a mess?
Amen.
Oh yeah. People don't even think about that. God chose for a purpose. You know, sometimes you got to bring somebody in from the outside to straighten things up. Most companies that fail is they keep the same people and they keep the same leaders from people from the inside. And that's the failure of the company. No, you want to straighten things out. Don't listen to the ones that made the mess. See, wise people do something from the outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. For the Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I just thank you. Hallelujah. You're so wise. You're so smart. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to thank you for being so patient with us. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes I look and I think, my God, have I drugged my feet for a long time? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Lord, I've worn out a lot of pair of shoes with you dragging me along there. Hallelujah. But Lord, you're always kind. You're always merciful. Hallelujah. Your wisdom's great. And Lord God, what you do with imperfect vessels is a marvelous thing. It just amazes me. Hallelujah. Lord God, how you get your job done. How you carry out the things you want to. And Lord God, it's many times not through the obvious ways or the things that we would think as men. Hallelujah. I'm just glad. I'm so glad you're smart. Father God, you're just a wonderful Father. And I'm so glad of my elder son, brother Jesus. Hallelujah. Your son Jesus is absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for using us as you have. Thank you so much. Lord, you didn't use us because we were wonderful. The knowledge we gained, we got it from you. We wouldn't have known. Hallelujah. Lord, the power that works in us, it's not our power. It's your power. It's your glory that manifests itself. And Lord, we want to let you know that we understand this. We know it. Hallelujah. We just want to be good stewards. So when you want to use your power, we'll be, yeah, go ahead. You can bring that through me. You can operate that through this person or that person. We're just going to be obedient vessels, hallelujah, to do your will, to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, as we leave here, we're coming into a new year. And Lord God, Lord, this is a year. Yes, I see what you've been dealing with me on. It's about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. Lusts of the flesh, lusts of the flesh, lusts. Yes, yes, I see that. I see that. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord wants me to say something to you. Now that you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, we think about, you look in Scriptures, the lusts of the flesh, it talks about different sins that people do. Sins, fleshly sins. The Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me about this. He just said, the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh can be what seems good and seems well. When people don't walk in the Spirit, they do what they think is best. They think they do what is well, but they're not doing what God wants them to do. Be led by the Spirit. I'll tell you, I can talk about my flesh. My flesh has the idea to try to walk in comfort as much as he can. Does yours? Well, we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to have, but we need to be careful in these areas because we don't want to be led by comfort. We want to be led by the Spirit. Because when we step outside of there, what happens, whether we realize it, we're yielding to the flesh. It wants comfort. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to do that. See, I know I've experienced this starting a church. You know, the Lord said start the church and I'm dragging my feet because I had no comfort in it. See, number one, I couldn't see myself naturally. The thing the Lord says start. I didn't just stop and say, yeah, Lord, I'll tell you what. Yeah, this is going to... No. He finally was very kind to me one day. I was praying about it and I asked him and he said, get up off your feet and don't talk to me about this again. Go start the church. I said, well, okay. I got up off the floor. I was on my knees in the living room. And I got up off the floor and I never talked to him again about it because he didn't speak happy. He didn't say, Ed, I know you're a cute little thing and you just don't understand. That's what's wrong, Ion. You poor little puppy, you know. He rubbed my belly. No, he said, get up off the floor. Don't talk to me about this again. That's what I needed. See, if you don't know God like that, I feel sorry for you. Come on. Will you let him say to you what needs to be said?
Amen.
See, I know my feelings hurt. Well, you might just stay for the rest of your life in the mess you're in. You may not overcome in areas. I'll just tell you this. Ed needs yelled at sometimes.
Amen.
He never yelled at me to hurt me.
Amen.
You know why he does it? To get Ed the donkey's attention. Sometimes it seems like we're the prophet on the back of the donkey. The donkey might save your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. What, did you learn anything today?
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe next week. Well, I had a good message going there. I'll tell you that. We'll go to your next. If it goes next week, we'll look at the Spirit and concerning dealing with evangelism. Because we don't, the Spirit filled, we have too much talk evangelism. If we don't have talking and manifestations, we ain't doing with God. Look in the New Testament. They didn't have just talk. The majority of the places or any place you go and they're going to give you, how to witness to people, ain't got a thing to do without any manifestations. It's just you talk. We're going to give you nice things to say. We need demonstrations and manifestations. And people need to find out the words you're saying are true.
That's right.
Is your God as good as you said he is? Or did you lie about it? Say, he's great. He is. Prove it. No, excuse me, I'll make an excuse why it didn't happen. I'll talk to you a little more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning as we enter into this new year. Hallelujah. Lord God, I look forward to it with excitement. Lord, I know there's going to be some major shakings and things going on, but Lord, there's going to be some wonderful things. Things need to be shaken to straighten some things out. And Lord God, we're not going to be moved because you never change. We belong to you. You didn't throw us under the bus. You're keeping us. Hallelujah. You're the one that saved us, delivered us, and you're well able to keep us in any situations, no matter what they be. Hallelujah. Father, we're not going to throw joy away. We're not going to throw peace away. We're going to keep it. You gave it to us. It's ours. Hallelujah. And we will walk in it, live in it, and enjoy, hallelujah, our time with you. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, I look forward into this year more manifestations, more demonstrations of the Holy Ghost through the church. Hallelujah. Manifestations through the church. And I just thank you, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for giving our president the ability to stand. Hallelujah. Because it is neither normal or does it make any sense that, Lord God, that he would put up with all he's put up over time. And we know it's because he ain't so tough. Hallelujah. It's your tough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're the one. Hallelujah. When we fall, you can make us stand. And he's proof of that. Hallelujah. You made him stand. But it isn't just for him. We're going to stand. Hallelujah. You will make us stand through this time. I thank you, Lord God. Many doors are going to be open. Lord, I think about the prophecy that came by Kenneth Hagin many years ago, speaking of the end times, and even part of the prophecy was the first part of it, was about a man was going to become the president of the United States and he was going to turn things around. Things were going to get turned around. It was a prophecy. Here we are many years later and here it is. But one of the things that he said after that, Lord, he said that there was people going to drop dead in office. There's people who are going to die. People are going to fall over. He didn't say just from one party either. He said people are going to die. They're going to drop over. And he said the church will see it and know and rejoice. They'll know that it's your working that you're doing. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, you're going to bring that to pass. There's things of people who need judge, who have stood against your plans and your purposes. All they have done to destroy the man you put in charge of our nation. Lord God, Father, I pray that you reckon upon them the things they have done to him. That you bring upon their heads the evil that they want. That they see that evil, Lord God, upon them. That either they would repent and move or change, or Lord God, they would be completely out of the way. They would be judged. And Father, we just want to say thank you. Lord God, this is a year we're stepping in of supernatural changes. Hallelujah, going on. Supernatural changes in the church. A people rising up into the place of the Spirit. They have not walked in. Some for many years, but they're not going to stop in. It's not just stepping into where we were. It's going beyond of where we were. Hallelujah. Stepping out of those places. Hallelujah. In a greater anointing and a place of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for this time that we get to live in. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for being able to see these days. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, it looks like much in the church is asleep, but I don't believe. Lord, if anybody can wake somebody up, you can. Hallelujah. You can wake it up. You can shake it up. And we thank you, Lord God, you're awakening and shakening. And Lord God, I want to thank you for bringing division. Oh, boy, that's hard for Christians. Lord, division, because there's things that need to divide it up. Lord, it needs to be divided up clearly who's on your side and who's not. Who's with you and who's against you. And I thank you, Lord God, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer who belongs to you and who doesn't. And I thank you for that. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, you are the people in these last days that you're setting forth. And Lord God, there's going to be many come into the kingdom and they're going to join in. They're going to come in hot. Hallelujah. They're coming in hot and heavy, ready to go after the things of God. I thank you, Father, just as we saw in the charismatic renewal, Lord God, you reaching out into different denominations and all things. I thank you, people are going to come in from all sides today. There's a hunger rising among your people. Lord, in the book of Revelation, every one of those churches had people in and had eyes towards you. Lord, there may have been a small number, but you said, you know, you have ones among you that haven't followed after whatever the major part was. Lord, I thank you there's hungry people in every group and in every place. And Lord God, they're your people. Lord God, and I want to thank you. They're our brothers and sisters. And I thank you that they're going to rise up and you're going to bring them out. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. I think Jesus will be magnified through them. Jesus will be glorified through them. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.